Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Becky.
It's just you and I, and we're going to nerd out a little bit tonight.
We are, yes.
Before we get too far into the episode, I have to correct myself from last week. I talked about something I'd seen on Threads last week involving romancing the craft. I personally had seen an altered image that only showed Natalie Kenya and someone else as presenting. I did not see Adriana Herrera and I didn't see Kennedy Ryan. And then come to find out the author that had shared the original picture, she's a whole group of trouble herself.
Yes.
And I think I let my own bias towards Steamy Lit kind of come into play. So I apologize for that. I misread, was given wrong information, and I didn't do my due diligence, and I should have done better. I should know better. I'm good at media literacy. Apparently not last week.
Yeah. And it had just happened, and then we talked about it and found sources in our chat.
Yeah, it was, I'm going to blame it on the heat. I don't know. Maybe it melted my brain a little bit. But they are doing it like West Coast and East Coast. I guess they're going to do it in conjunction with something on the East Coast also. Adriana Herrera is.
Oh, nice. I didn't see that.
And then it was announced earlier this week that Kennedy Ryan, this is something that's really interesting. So Kennedy Ryan is at Forever Publishing, right?
Yes.
For her books. She announced this week that she's canceling all of her travel for fourth quarter. She traveled 34 weeks out of 52 in 2024.
Yeah, that's a lot. And she said she was on pace to do that this year, if not more.
Next year. Yeah. So it was interesting because Kennedy, the reason it was even on my radar is she was supposed to be in Toledo in November and she's canceled. So not only is she canceling like any other book tours, media tours, anything, she's canceling like the library event in Toledo in November.
Yes, but she is keeping the panel in question.
Right. So the Romance of the Craft, she's only going to be there virtually.
Yes.
She'll deliver the keynote virtually. But it made me go and look. Do you know that Abby Jimenez, she also traveled something like 34 weeks. She is also at Forever Publishing in 2024. And she has to do a tour in Germany for the publisher. And then when she comes home, she is hoping to not have to go back out on tour for 8 months because she's just exhausted.
That's a lot of travel. That's so exhausting.
It's so bonkers to me. So Forever needs to maybe find some other authors that want to go on tour.
Yeah, that's a lot. So, I mean, but good for Kennedy for, you know, doing what she needs to do for her health and her family. So
for both of them, for any author that steps in, you know, I understand that it can be a bummer to see an author cancel that a signing you were going to be at and an event you were going to be at. But they're human. So let's give grace.
Yeah. This stuff happens. Life happens.
Yeah. So. Also I love my bed too much to travel 34 weeks out of a year.
Yeah. That's too much. You know me. I'll stay at home all the time. I get out of my house for occasions, but not very many.
Not very many. So I just wanted to correct myself. I did not have all the information. I shouldn't have spoke on it. I will do better. That's what I got. Quick shout out to our amazing Patreon community. Just so you know, your support keeps the podcast running and lets us bring you even more bonus content, reading guides, and exclusive Discord chats. If you're not a member yet, check out. We have one tier over on Patreon. And we'd love to have you a part of our bookish crew. And I don't know if I talked about it a couple weeks ago. I got an email today. On behalf of Buzzing About Romance podcast, I made a donation to a library in the name of an author that had suddenly passed away. And she was a friend of the podcast, a supporter of the podcast. And I'm talking about author Carla Luna. We mentioned her. She's been on the podcast a couple times. She did readathon with me. She was a really great guest.
Just a really great human all around.
Yeah.
So we were sad to see that.
Yeah, we were sad to hear of her passing, but just know that we continue to share her love of reading and her legacy of reading, with her local library. So, because libraries matter. But I wanted to mention that because somebody DM'd me about something, asking if we had known about Carla, and I was like, yeah, we did. And so, just wanted to make sure others knew. Okay, I think that's all of that. I guess we get to talk this episode, which hopefully we don't bore anyone. I don't know what else to say.
No, I think a lot of people are interested in this topic, so I don't think it's going to bore people,
It's
so.
just, it's one of those that I don't know. So we are today diving into something that feels like the ultimate bookish dream. When your favorite romance novel gets optioned for TV or film, we get all the tingles of excitement when we hear this book has been picked up for adaptation. But what does that actually mean? In this episode, we're going to break down the behind-the-scenes process of how books are sold for screen rights, how often they actually make it to production, and what readers and authors should realistically expect. Spoilers, it's longer, bumpier ride than you think.
Yes.
So the first point of topic for this episode is, what does it mean when I sold my film or TV rights? So just to recap, we always talk about a book and its sub rights. The book is like a pencil case inside the pencil case. So inside the book are all these different sub rights or pens and pencils, and each one can be broken up and sold individually. Now, sometimes when a book is bought by TradPub, it is bought for what they call world rights. And that means all sub rights pertaining to that book are owned by the publishing company in and including the film and TV rights. So that's why, like, when Elsie Silver signed her new deal at Simon and Schuster Atria, we were all shocked to hear that she retained her North America, US ebook and audiobook rights.
Yes.
Because she got a big amount of money for that book, but she was able to keep two of the most profitable rights to herself. But in that deal for her new Emerald Lake series, the TV and film rights are owned by Simon and Schuster and Atria.
So is it the new series that's optioned, or it's the Chestnut Springs that's
No, it's
optioned?
not even Chestnut Springs that's optioned. It's
Oh.
Rose Hill. It's her current series that
Oh,
ends.
okay. All right.
September is the last book in that series, comes out. And that
Okay.
is the one that has been optioned. And we're going to get to that because
Okay.
that one's a little different than what people think it is. So,
Okay. I'll hold off. I couldn't, I was like
yeah,
blanking
it's
on
not even
which
the
series it
Chestnut
was.
Springs, it's the
Okay.
Rose Hill. So what are we talking about when we say optioning? So Amanda, what does optioning mean?
It is the production where the production company pays for the exclusive right to develop it into script, but that does not necessarily mean that it's greenlit. So they've paid for the right to develop it, but that doesn't mean they will.
And when that happens, it is only optioned. It's specific in the contract of how long they have the option to try to develop a script. So it can be anywhere from 12 to 14 months. They can extend it as long as they are actively developing the script, pitching to studios, networks, or attaching talent. So Jodi Picoult shared a couple months ago that most of her books have been optioned for TV or film multiple times. Like one company will
Yeah.
buy it. It lasts about 9 months. They drop it. Next company will buy it. It lasts about 9 months. So they can actually, if they can resell those rights over and over again, if it never gets made. Like if a contract runs out with one production company, it can go to another production company and get back into development. And, if that flops, be sold again.
Well, I mean, I guess that, that's kind of a good thing though, because if it gets optioned and never gets made, at least it has potential for a future to get
Right.
made. So.
And most books are options. They are not outright purchased. So
Yeah, I mean, because I would imagine that would entail a much larger price
it
tag.
is. The author gets a fee for the option, but that is often modest. Typically, a sub write is around $5,000. TV and film pays more per sub write because they're usually purchasing like multi-book series for TV
Yeah, that makes
film
sense.
because you want each character's potential development and stuff like that. There are also scouting agencies that will, like, after a deal is announced in Publishers Weekly for like, this author sold a book. So let's use Butcher and Blackbird by Bren Weaver. It was sold to Zando. There's a company that comes in and says, hey, before they've even read the book, before it's even done anything with it, we want to purchase the option. And then they will then kind of shop the option out to production companies.
Okay, that makes sense.
So there is that kind of stuff too. So just because a book is optioned does not mean it's going to get a script. It has to get a script. It has to get a studio, a producer behind it. And then because of the way currently film and TV is specifically, it's got to have one of the streaming platforms or one of the networks willing to pay for it.
Yeah, I mean,
And we've all seen, Netflix and Amazon likes to buy something for one season and then cancel it after it's done. I know. The other thing that I want to say is, and this is something a lot of people don't know about, and as we were coming on, I was telling Amanda about this. She's like, I didn't even know that was a thing. So there are serial TV film apps for books. There's one that's called Real Shorts, where they take an author's book and IP and turn it into these over-the-top, pay-as-you-go little serial shorts. They're like 3 to 5 minutes. It's a whole book that's optioned out. Anytime something like that is sold, it is the film and TV right, meaning they sold it to Real Shorts. It's not going to get sold to Netflix then.
yeah, that's interesting because I had no idea anything like that existed.
Yeah,
So.
Jenny's in the comments going, they are cringe. They are very
Oh.
cringe. Now, I will say one of the interesting things about like those Real Shorts and stuff like that is oftentimes the author can get 2 credits. Basically, they get paid for the sub write to use the book in the Real Short. They can also be the script writer for the Real Short, so then they get a second
Oh. Well, I mean, it lets them
payday.
control the narrative a little bit too, I guess. So
Yeah, but
that's.
they're so over the top. Like, you will see, like, this is based on Jamie Davenport's, this hockey book. And then you watch it and you're like, that, I read that book. That was not the same.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to have to watch one of these just so I can see
I will
how it
download
is.
some
That's
from TikTok and
hilarious.
send you. They're bonkers. They are bonkers. But that is also part of film and TV rights. So I just wanted to mention it for those who.
Yeah, because I had no idea. So,
So, I mean, I'm going to have you read this next part, which is the simplified version of the process of optioning to post-production.
okay.
Okay.
So the first part is the option is acquired. So that's the producer, the studio gets the exclusive rights. The second part is the developmental phase. So that includes writing a script, finding a showrunner, director, and then pitch or building pitch materials. The third part is pitching to networks and streamers like Netflix, Hulu, etc. And they have to say yes. Then it's the green light portion. So money is actually committed, production right, production officially begins. Sorry, I cannot talk tonight,
That's
apparently.
okay.
So, and then the fifth part is pre-production, where they cast, scout, and budget, and then filming begins. Then it's post-production for editing, music, effects, and then the final portion is distribution, where it finally gets to a screen near you. So a lot of parts and pieces.
So many parts and pieces. And the average timeline from option to release is on average 3 to 7 years. And that's if it gets made. So we know that back in 2019, 18 or 19, Kennedy Ryan sold the rights to Queen's Move and to Hoops, like she sold those rights, it still does not have a production company attached to it.
Oh, wow.
It was optioned. They keep renewing the option. And she sold her Skylander series after the release of book one to, it was optioned, the rights were sold, full sold to John Legend's production company.
Oh, I remember reading that. Okay, yeah.
But it's been stalled there since 2022.
So, is there a limit on how many times they can renew an option, or is it just depend on
Depends
the.
on how the contract is
Okay.
written. And the author can come back. I think usually it's written that you sell for, say, 18 months, and then you get one option renewal, and then after that, it's a renegotiation.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it really can just vary on how the contract is written. And I feel like I say that all the time about this kind of stuff. It just depends on how the contract is written.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that about so many things, though, so it makes sense.
Many of these projects that get picked up will die in development and don't ever get greenlit. So just because an author makes a big announcement, there's an announcement in Vanity Fair, or there's a Variety or People Magazine or on their social media that this has been optioned, this has been picked up. It does not mean that that is actually going to happen. Like, temper
Yeah.
your expectations.
Yeah, I mean, but I also understand that I'm sure the publishers and the authors are trying to, promote that as much as possible because it will lead most times to more book sales
Right.
and enthusiasm for a series and that kind of thing. So I get it, but yeah, it's I don't think most people realize how far they have to go once it's optioned.
Well, and I think with social media, like it felt like every other popular book was being picked up in the last 6 months. You know, we turned
Yeah.
around and every day there was a new book that's been optioned, a new series been optioned. And the reality is, as much as you want to see those books on the big screen, it's only 5 to 10% of optioned books actually ever get produced.
Yeah, that's a really small amount, but it kind of makes sense with the amount that are getting optioned. Like as we've been digging into this a little more, and you just, like you said, you hear it on social media all the time, but Becky had sent me a couple of posts and I was just looking at the sheer number of things that are actually coming out,
Yeah.
even scheduled to come out like this year and next year. And I was like, oh, wow, I wasn't even aware that some of those things were optioned.
Yeah.
It's so much.
Yeah. And even after being greenlit, production delays, cancellations, we saw the writers' strike and
Oh, yeah.
SAG-AFTRA, that really threw a wrench and a lot of stuff. A lot of the writers in Hollywood feel like these production companies are actually picking up these books so that they can cut the number of writers out. So, out of the development process, out of the writing rooms, and stuff like that, that the
Yeah.
IP is already there, things are already there. So, it would mean less people needed in the room, cheaper cost, less writers. So, recent surge to book to screen interest is due to streaming competition. But romance still underrepresents compared to thrillers, fantasy, and YA.
Oh, it does. Like a
Yeah.
lot. I mean, again, I'll just talk about what I was just looking at that you had sent me, and the majority of it is like it's stuff that leans more suspense, thriller, like YA. You don't see a ton of just straight up romance with the adaptations.
No. And we did, it does tell us that romance is often stripped back. The romance portions are stripped back and put in sideline adaptations, or in the adaptations are sidelined. Rarely do they preserve the spice or the emotional beats as deeply as in the book. What we love to see more of is faithful romance adaptations. And I say that very lightly because I think Red, White, and Royal Blue did a good job of
Yeah.
keeping the emotional beats, even though the story kind of went its own way a little bit. Bridgerton, I don't think kept as much of the emotional beats. I don't know.
as
I
the
books originally. I mean, I still haven't finished season two and I canceled Netflix.
it's hard. I think it's really hard to convey sometimes what you read in a romance book onto screen.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's just easier to strip it out because then you're not left figuring that out. And also too, I think it's different for every reader. I mean, the same is true when you watch a movie, but I think romance is harder to nail down.
I think so too. And some of these, as we go through this now, we're going to give you some recent options. Some of them are really similar. So then the question becomes, they can't probably end up on the same streaming platform. So is it
No.
like Battle of the Networks kind of vibe? Or is one gonna like be like, okay, we're gonna let that one go first. If it goes really well, then we'll produce ours.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you see that a little bit with the whole Yellowstone thing. And it's like, how can Netflix or Amazon come up with something to meet that Yellowstone like level? So,
Yeah.
you know that they do that with the streaming networks and everything trying to compete with a really popular series. So that makes sense.
Yeah. The other thing to think about too is like, Bridgerton, that first season had really huge effect, right? Like everybody watched it, it was really well done. However, it did not result in historical romance becoming the next thing. It
Yeah.
actually has led to the death of historical romance.
Oh, you think that that's part of the.
I
Okay.
do. I do.
Interesting.
I think that the expectations of what historical romance is supposed to be this grandeur that we got in Bridgerton, and they're not all like that.
Oh,
And the
interesting.
inclusivity that they are. And I think that readers that watched that had never read historical romance then go and pick up the originals of Julia Quinn, they are not the same.
Yeah.
I do think that the success of Bridgerton led to the show The Gilded Age.
I haven't seen that either, but I've seen everybody talking about it.
It's so good. But I'm a nerd for robber baron, industrial barons. Like, I l read, listened to like Anderson Cooper's The Vanderbilt book, and then he did the one on the Astors and like all the chaos of the families and stuff. Like, I'm in it, friend.
Oh, yeah. It sounds really good. I just.
Yeah. And Karen's commenting, Karen actually works in Hollywood, but she's talking about studios like to water scripts down when it comes to romance shows, and historical shows are big money. Like, they're expensive
Oh,
to
yeah.
make.
For costuming, that makes sense. Yeah.
Versus the Western, the small towns, those are going to be cheaper to make. They're going to be able to make those outside of Hollywood, which is even cheaper to make it. So, and Jen Ellen says she thinks Downton Abbey led to the Gilded Age. I, in a way, yes, but no. I don't think so.
Yes, but no.
I don't think so because if you look at the story beats of Bridgerton and the family messiness and the way though that it's like each season is a different book, so to speak. And we
Okay.
look at how they're presenting the Gilded Age. It's less revolving around one family and it's more intricate on certain couples each season.
That makes sense.
So, I think it had an influence, but I don't think it's the exact direct. It's not a prequel to Downton Abbey.
Yeah. And Becky has to school me on all the TV stuff because like I watch TV, but my husband mostly watches TV while I read, so
Yeah.
it's my TV watching is mostly dictated by whatever he's got on while I'm reading. So he's not like a Bridgerton.
No, you mean Jeremy's not picking up
No.
Bridgerton? Okay, so in recent news in this week, these are going to be ones that we know are optioned. The Davenport by Crystal Marquez has been picked up, optioned by Amazon. It's been optioned. That is a 1900 turn of the century YA book. about the wealthy Black Americans in Chicago
Oh,
and
okay.
about one family and how they function in the Black society of Chicago.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. And Gilded Age has kind of done a little bit of that with the other family in New York City, and it's been very interesting. But I would love to see the Davenports. Those covers are like these really bright butter yellow and white. They're
Oh, yeah.
so pretty. They're so pretty. Okay, next up. Now, this one. So, Elsie Silver's Rose Hill series. The producer is Amazon, MGM Studios, and Temple Hill. The thing that's really interesting about all of this is Elsie Silver is listed as an executive producer on and with this company for this series. So the digging that I could do, she didn't actually sell anything or option anything and get money.
So it's a company she's involved with
It's a company
that's
she's involved with.
okay.
She will make her money on the backside when it's picked up and makes profit. But it, executive producer, it does give her some control over
Yeah.
script, filming, and casting.
Yeah, I mean, and if it's a company that she's involved with, then that gives, you would probably think that that's more likely to move a little further down the pipeline because it's one less person to put a wrench in the whole process, I guess. So
But it also says why she got a little snippy snappy when
oh.
people were not happy about it being turned into a TV show. Because she now has personal stake in it. It's more so
Yeah.
than I like sold you my book.
Yeah,
This
she's
is like
personally
I'm
involved in
personally staking
production. Yeah.
money and my name on this production.
Yeah, I mean, that's
So
a it's a big gamble. I mean, I'm sure she had to go pretty far in for that to get
yeah.
optioned.
I also have conspiracy theories on it, but I'll save that for another day. We'll wait and we'll see.
We'll see what happens. We'll get those in the group chat.
Yeah. Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood. Film adaptation is officially moving forward. Bissos Pictures acquired the rights in 2022, and by July of 2025, they were actually casting the lead roles.
Yes, we saw that. That was recent, right? I saw everybody talking about that.
Yeah.
There's
Lily
something to do
Reinhart
with.
and Tom Bateman. I think, is it Tom Bateman that is married to Ridley?
Daisy Ridley,
Daisy
yes.
Ridley.
Yeah.
And so it was like this whole meta moment kind of
Because
thing.
of the Raylo
Yeah.
situation. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Quicksilver by Callie Hart. Netflix acquired those rights in December of 2024, following a major bidding war. The adaptation is in early development. It does have an executive producer deal for Hart, again, like Silver, and it's expected to release no earlier than 2027. Now, it's a fantasy, and did I make a list of those? Okay, so it's a fantasy, and we have seen fantasy are expensive to make, right? And we've already seen them pick up some big major titles and promptly cancel them.
Yep, I'm still mad about Shadow and Bone, just in case anybody's
In
wondering.
case Sarah J. Maas, A Court of Thorns and Roses, was already, it had been casted, and they were getting ready to start production, and it canceled at Hulu because of the expense.
Oh, I didn't
Rights.
realize that one had gotten fully casted.
Yeah, it had been
Wow.
fully canceled. They were ready to enter into production, and the rights are now being reshopped, but nobody wants it. It's too expensive.
Yeah, I mean, those, they're gonna pick one. Somebody's gonna pick one, decide which one's gonna go the best, and it may or may not happen, but you know.
Jennifer Armentrout, her What is that one?
It's the oh my gosh.
Flesh and Bone or
Flesh and Bone is the second series. Blood and Ash.
Blood and Ash.
Blood and Ash.
So that was optioned up very quickly by a production company connected to Amazon, and
Yes.
it was canceled in November of 2024, never to
Yep.
see the light of day.
I mean, and that would have been another one. It's very like, it's when you're doing these fantasy worlds and you have to completely create this world that doesn't exist. I mean, that's going to get expensive. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Lila Sage, her Rebel Blue Ranch series has officially been optioned for TV. Universal Television has acquired the adaptation rights to Rat and Anna's Cowboy Universe.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It's an option. And then we already talked about the Skyland series. Again, Universal Television with development under at Peacock. Her novel Before I Let Go for Kennedy Rhines is officially in progress as a TV series. Will we see it? I mean, it was optioned as soon as that first book hit like pre-orders.
The Skyland?
Yeah.
Or are we talking about Hoops?
Yeah,
Yeah, okay.
Skyland. Yeah. Hoops and All the King's Men, that didn't come until later, till the book started to gain popularity.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, I don't know why that. I mean, I get that there are costs and maybe like, whatever with studios. I don't really understand how it works, but it seems like that would be a really good series to move forward with.
And I don't know if those selling previous to the writer's strike and now having the writer's strike has kind of slowed the production or potentially left it without feet.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of stuff just kind of died during that strike. You know,
Yeah.
you hear about other shows and series that just never made it back after that. We saw a lot of shows get canceled
Yeah.
after that. So.
So this is another one that's a little sketch. A little sketch. Shield of Sparrows by Devney Perry. It's been optioned for a movie, not for TV. Amazon MGM Studios via premeditated production, which is half that production company, is owned by Entangled.
I mean, it makes sense though, if you're gonna have like a publisher, that wants to do these adaptations, like it makes sense to have one involved
Yeah.
with a production company, I would think, right? Is
Yes.
that
This is
getting a little
odd.
weird?
This is odd.
Okay, I didn't know. I
Like
like
this is
I
odd.
okay.
So if we look at Bridgerton, that was sold to Shonda Rhimes. Shonda Rhimes had a proven company that knew what it was doing, knew how to take show from nothing to something. She had money, she had backers, she had connections, right? Even if you don't like what she's done, she made moves in Hollywood, right? So we know she's tried and true. Even production companies at MGM, we know that they are tried and true. They've brought stuff to TV, it's done well. So half your production company is your publisher. Berkeley doesn't do that. Macmillan doesn't do that. Penguin Random House doesn't do that. Like, Penguin Random House, who publishes, I think, who has most of Stephen King's stuff, they sell those off, or he sells them off. The publisher doesn't say, hey, we have a production company.
Yeah, no, I see it from that end too.
Now, Stephen King has a production company. That's different.
Okay, on his own,
That's
not a tied
different.
to a publisher or
It's
anything like
not
that.
something that's backed by the publisher.
Interesting.
So it this is and Entangled's never produced a TV show or a movie. And that's a large IP. It's a large money-making IP
Yeah.
to be dabbling in that.
I mean, I see the intricacies here, but I kind of like it kind of makes sense to me though. It's like, well, if you can't get anyone else to buy it, then why not?
Well,
I
I
don't
mean, it
know.
keeps more money in the publishing label's hand, which is why,
Yeah.
like, a lot of authors will create and become executive producers, just like we talked about. It gives Elsie more control. It gives more
Yeah.
control, to who else did we say was listed as executive producer? Callie Hart.
Oh, yeah.
It gives her more control. Stephen King, he likes control of his IP, but the publisher is not the one controlling the IP.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. In my brain, I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense. But then as you talk about it, I'm like, oh, okay. I see the pitfalls there.
The Edens by Devenir Perry, it's still rumored to have been optioned, but again, the option is with Entangled's production company. Jen Ellen brought this up in the chat. The Off Campus series by L. Kennedy. It's officially in production. It's going, just got hit in the head by a fly. It is going to Prime Video. And full casting was announced in October of 2024. And in February, they started filming.
Yeah, so we know that's happening.
Her standalone novel, Girl Abroad, that she sold is in development but optioned. It doesn't have a production or company
Oh,
with it
okay.
yet. Oh, I'm sorry. L. Kennedy's Girl Abroad, Chris Van Dusen from the Bridgerton. He is adapting it in partnership with A24 and Pacesetter Productions.
Oh,
And
okay.
L is set to be the executive producer on that. So, again, not as odd as we thought.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It makes sense. I mean, I would want to have, especially if you have a really popular series and you want to keep
Well, I don't think L. Kennedy
as
was the executive
close.
producer on the off-campus series. And there were,
Just the Girl Abroad.
yeah, just the Girl Abroad. And there were rumors coming out of the off-campus series with some questionable casting.
Oh, yeah, I saw some chatter going around about that, but I
Yeah.
didn't know exactly what it was in
So
reference to.
it makes sense that the next one she's going to have be able to get her hand in it so that there isn't. And I think that's something too that we don't talk about enough with these film to TV adaptations. Like if you love that off-campus series, if you like if that is your Roman Empire of romance novels,
Yeah.
that adaptation, if it's just slightly off, you're going to be mad.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I mean, I think about that because I don't know if I would watch certain things, like certain books that I love. I don't know if I would watch a movie adaptation because I would not be happy if something was off. And I'm sure that it would not be how I pictured it in my brain.
Well, I mean,
Like,
I know how angry I was with Bridgerton
yeah.
because of how they changed storylines.
Yeah.
I like season one, but season two, they some of the best pieces of that story got skewed and were terrible.
Yeah, I mean, and we all know about the Game of Thrones debacle. I mean,
Right.
it's, you know, it's people get upset.
People get big mad. Big mad. Okay, Anna Hong's Twisted Love is officially TV bound via Netflix with full series optioned. Scripts are in development, so that's like kind of in stage two. Netflix is collaborating closely with Anna Hong to capture the tones and layered dynamics. She is not listed as an executive producer, but it sounds like she's getting some consulting. Casting is unannounced. Author emphasizes chemistry and possible new actors. So she wants unknown actors for her books or for her shows. No
I would
release
watch
date
that.
yet, but earliest potential premiere would be sometime mid to late 2026.
Yeah, I would watch that. I've read most of those books. I think all of them except the last one, and then that was too, it was too popular and too in my face, and I just never read it.
Oppositional defiance
I know I
disorder.
can't help it, but I did read the first one. I mean it, I could see that being like a fun book, but I wonder how dark they'll go. 'Cause it gets a little, you
I
know,
don't know. They
that's
did
how.
B.B. Easton's 44 Men.
Oh,
They
I
also
don't
did
know that
that
one.
one. There was the one, it was a book that came out of Croatia that was like mafia.
Oh,
And
the 300 days or whatever
yes,
that everybody was watching.
yes.
I didn't see that, but oh
And
yeah,
then they
that's right. They
adapted
did do
into a
that.
movie, and that was
Yeah.
and that was Netflix, and that was flipping bonkers. They also did the new,
True.
didn't Netflix do the new version of Lady Chatterley?
It might be Netflix,
I think
yeah,
it was
maybe. That's
Netflix.
true. It is Netflix. I'm sure they'll probably lean into that. I was just curious. I'm sitting here thinking because I've read the book and I'm like, huh, I wonder.
I'm just saying, like, those were kind of
That's true.
that 365 day one was
Oh,
dark.
365.
It
Okay.
was dark.
I didn't watch it, but I saw several clips and people talking about it on the
It was
internet.
bonkers. I still am like, what did I watch? And even the Bebe Easton one, based on her 40 Men, there's like that shower scene that was on Netflix with this very giant penis. I'm still scarred. Like, I'm still not okay. Nobody needed to see that.
That's true. I'm sitting here and as I ask that question, then it's like, okay, it's Netflix. I'm sure
Right?
they'll be fine with it. 'Cause the next one is also, which I haven't read the next one either, but I've heard things about it,
Yeah.
about Butcher and Blackbird, so.
Yeah, I have read Butcher and Blackbird, unfortunately. The adaptation status is officially optioned for a feature film. It does not have a script, but it does have a director, Chris McKay, who did the Lego Batman movie. He will helm the adaptation based on reports appearing in Variety and fan communities. That's how he's been attached, is that way. The Mindfuck series is officially in development as a TV show with Amazon MGM. Fans are passionate about getting it right.
Yeah,
So.
I don't know if I can watch that because I will be really mad if
Yeah.
that one doesn't go the right way because it's, I don't know. I have an attachment to that series, and I think that could go very badly very
Very
quickly if
quickly.
they don't do it right.
In the chat, Sue brings up The Black Dagger Brotherhood by J.R. Ward. Now, I did not talk about what Passion Flix owns, what they have, and I never will. I am not a fan of the person that owns Passion Flix for political reasons, and so I'm not gonna talk about it. I feel bad for authors that have IP with them.
Yes.
I also don't think that that stuff is well produced. It feels less quality than a Lifetime movie. So that's where I stand on that one, and that's why we didn't even talk about that person and their stuff, because I'm just not comfortable giving them
Yep,
space.
nope.
Okay, so there is a Facebook page called Big Little Reads on Facebook that is a great source with articles about different books that are being picked up and where their status is. And they have like 3 to 5 announcements a day.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then I go down the rabbit hole. Becky sends me this link yesterday. So I'm like
You're welcome.
on reading like all of these posts about all these books that have been optioned. But then I notice, so then they start like they're announcing book releases. So I'm like, if they're announcing these book releases, does that mean there's something going on?
It could
So
be, who
then I'm
knows?
getting all conspiracy theoried out because they mentioned, some of my favorite books. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
And we didn't talk about Fourth Wing. It is not, okay, so this is an interesting piece. The Entangled production company is not associated to that production.
Oh.
It's optioned by Amazon, MGM again, but it is stalled, citing projected production costs.
Yeah, I mean, and Amazon has been very upfront about canceling series for costs. That's where
Right.
the.
They took out the Lord of the Rings series because of
Yep.
cost. What was the other one
There was
recently?
another big one. And I'm blanking right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, they canceled the the Jennifer Armentrout one, which would be on par with Fourth Wing
Fourth Wing,
for
yeah.
cost and having to, and they don't even have dragons.
Yeah, and that's
So.
kind of another piece too, that when you look at like Entangled as part of the production company, they have to come up with some of the money for the costs.
Yeah.
So, right now, Devney's stuff is with the Entangled production company, and the assistant to the villain stuff.
Oh, okay.
That's also, but the production company Entangled made was not created until October of 2024. So
So
that,
these options that are not tied to that may have been optioned before they created
yes,
this,
before they
possibly,
created
because they
this.
have that 2-year
Yeah.
window. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know what the cost of Game of Thrones was per episode. Janellen's asking in the chat on YouTube if it was like 4 million, 4 or 5 million per episode, and I don't know. Are you
Let's
Googling it?
see. I'm Googling it. Let's see what it says. It started out in the first season, episodes cost around $6 million to produce. By the final season, each episode had an estimated budget of $15 million.
Cheese and rice.
Yeah.
Cheese and
So that's a
rice.
lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there any book or series that you would like to see turned into a movie or a TV show?
I don't think so because
Leave your
I
books
don't
alone.
think they're gonna do it the right way. I'm one of those people that I'm gonna be really upset if it's not, if I'm emotionally invested in that book. Like if it's one of my favorite books, I would be more inclined to watch something I haven't read or that I didn't really have big feelings about, I think.
Yeah.
What about you? Is there one for you?
There are a couple for me that I really think would be make exceptional television. And I think about it like, so I think that A.L. Jackson's Redemption Hills would make an excellent TV series. Just
Yeah.
because there's that dark, that grayness, that more questions of morality and stuff like that within it. But she sold Time River, and they are actually not making it a romance. They're turning it into a thriller.
Yeah, and I think her books would be it would be easy to do that with those books.
Yeah.
So I think she probably and the way she writes, I think lends itself to a TV or a movie. I think that would be a good one.
Another one that I think would be really well done, is Lexi Ryan's the Jackson
Oh,
Brewery,
yeah.
the Jackson Brothers, the Brewery series, The Boys of Jackson Harbor. I think that that would be an exceptionally well done TV series. It could have the soapy vibes, the family vibes in and around the brewery, but I actually think that some of these romance, especially if it's part of a series, would do better as a TV series than a movie series, than just a movie.
Yeah, because I think if you're trying to take that amount of content and put it into a movie, you're definitely going to lose some of the plot, some of the things that make it, attractive to readers or to people watching it. So I think TV shows work better for that kind of thing.
I say that, and then I think of like Winterville. It would be a great Hallmark movie. Just
Oh,
all
yeah.
the messiness of the family, multiple characters, like that town as a whole would be a hoot as like a Christmas movie, the holiday meets Winterville kind of vibe.
Yes. Oh, and I heard not that this has to do with the book, but that they're going to be the Apple has like talking about doing like a new The Holiday, but in like a limited series.
Yes, I did see that.
I'll be very curious to see what
Well,
happens
it's
with
really
that.
interesting because Michael, he loved the Murderbot books
Oh, yeah.
and he really enjoyed that TV series. He thought it was exceptionally well done.
Yeah, we both like Jeremy watched it and I watched it with him, and I thought it was really well done. But I haven't read the book, so I didn't know how it compared, but I do like that. And I think something like that, sci-fi stuff,
Yeah.
like without necessarily without a romance, but I think that lends itself to TV adaptations
Yeah.
pretty well.
I agree. But I don't think you could do a whole series of Ice Planet Barbarians.
No, because I mean,
There's a lot of breeding kink
yeah.
in those. Like, it would have to be Netflix after dark Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you have like the suspense or you have the sci-fi stuff like that, I think it's easier to lean into that kind of storyline. I think it's harder to convey like a really good romance, I think, sometimes when you're adapting it from a book. Just in my opinion. But like I said, I'm not the best like TV watcher,
So we
so.
had Silent Book Club last week or this week on Thursday night, and I posed a question to everybody. Do we think that these very popular authors have the stones to be a long surviving evergreen author, say like a Nora Roberts? I'm not saying they're going to write like Nora Roberts. I just mean like, you know, she started in
Longevity.
category and she has this longevity, and there are still many of us, and she crosses genres and we read all her books. Do you think, like, I know that Nora Roberts, she had several Lifetime movies made out of different books, and I still love Blue Smoke. It's one of my favorites that they did as a Lifetime movie.
What was the one? Oh, I have a favorite. What is it? And I'm
Is it the
blanking part
Alaskan
of me.
one?
Yes, it's the Alaskan one.
Yeah, because that one was, wasn't that Eddie Cibrian and
And
Leanne
Leanne
Rimes?
Rhymes.
That's when
Yeah, that's how
they
they
fell in love
met
and
in.
started their affair and
Yep. And they're still married.
cheated on
Oh.
people.
Yes, it was terrible. But I love that book though. And I can see the cover of it, and it's just Northern Lights.
Northern Lights, yeah. But so we were kind of talking about that, like the current authors that are writing, and then I look at the films and TV that they're picking up. And I look at like an Elsie Silver or a Lila Sage, those books would be easy to make throwaway TV on. Do you know what I mean? Like background noise, they're more vibes, it's more aesthetic. They're not deep in, you know, the stories aren't like these huge emotional arcs, right? They're not these big, giant, overdeveloped characters. There are some books that are out there that would be incredibly hard to do, to make.
That makes sense. I mean, those are probably geared towards, what would make a good show like that for,
Yeah. So
binging.
I wonder if, like, you know, and we talk often about the way we consume media now versus how we used to consume media and how it's just right at our fingertips and it's easy to binge and to hold on and stuff like that. And so, you know, movies about or TV series about Rose Hill would definitely be a whole lot easier to digest in a binge versus, say, you know, a huge emotionally complex story, like Helena Hunting's her second gen hockey series that she's done, you know, because they are like deep and rooted in emotion and trauma and stuff like that. So I wonder if some of that is part of that too. What's attractive?
Yeah, I mean, and I think, part of the reason what makes those series like popular is because, like you said, the way we consume media, it's easily digestible, in a world that's on fire. It's easy to check out and read something that is more vibes necessarily, than emotion. So I get it. It makes sense. And like you said, that's going to be way more adaptable than even these fantasy series
Oh,
too.
for sure,
So
because I mean, it's a mountain and a town in Canada, like, you know, like out in a field. I mean, it's can be feel real life. It doesn't have to have any special effects or CGI or 'cause
Yeah,
it's
I mean, and
small
we've seen
town
with the
Canada.
popularity of like the Yellowstones and series that are like that,
Yeah.
not necessarily that those would be as crazy, but that same kind of like setup. you know.
Although, you know, if they wanted to blow some people up, I mean, I don't know. I'm
Good.
ready for the
Yeah.
bonkersness. Okay, Amanda, guess what?
It's that time.
It's that time for Book
Book.
of the
The
Week. We
We
got our
do jazz
jazz
hands,
hands
Leah.
just for
We do
Leah.
jazz hands.
Amanda, what's your book of the week?
So my book of the week is Lips Like Sugar by Jess K. Hardy. That it's book two in her Bluebird Basin series. The characters are Mira and Cole, and I just had to like remind myself I should have written it down. But anyway, it's a she needs a date to a wedding. He's in town for the wedding. It's the first time they're ever meeting, so they're doing a little fake dating. They're both older characters. She's 50, he's 53. There's no big like drama surrounding anything. I mean, they're kind of like already set in their lives, but they are, you know, he lives in Seattle, she lives in Montana, so there's the distance thing. She's
Okay.
also caring for her mother who's in cognitive decline. She has an 11-year-old son, so she can't up and leave. He has a life, a job. He's like a former rock star drummer from a band. You know, so there's that kind of challenge. They're just a lot of fun. I loved the whole fake dating thing. They're both very like swoony. Like it was really good banter. And the other two books in that series are a little heavier, so it was kind of like nice getting like the break in between, you know.
Yeah.
And like a lot of times with the second book, it's kind of like second books don't always hit as good, but this one's like really good. And I think it can be read on its own. There's like a little bit of crossover, but I think you can get the gist. But I like that one a lot.
Yeah. Jess K. Hardy has been on my TBR for a minute, so probably gonna have
Yeah.
to bump her up there.
She writes older characters really well, like the
Nice.
Gen X like older character. I like her books are a lot of fun,
Fun.
so what was your book of the week?
The Blonde Who Came in from the Cold by Allie Carter. It is book two in this spy series that she's writing. It is ridiculous, ridiculous, fun spy rom-com. It blends explosions, espionage, emotional slow burn. It is a slow burn, my friend.
Is
Slow,
it?
slow, slow burn.
That cover is so cute.
83% slow burn.
Oh
Anyway, it was an adventure. It was so fun. Do you remember the TV show Covert Affairs
Oh yeah.
with Piper Pablo or
Piper Perabo. Yeah.
Piper Perabo?
From the Coyote Ugly.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
she had a series where she was like an agent for the
Yeah.
CIA. Those kind of vibes, but funny.
That
And
sounds like a lot of
ridiculous,
fun.
and I love them. They were so good. It's a different couple. It's a second book. They all work for the same agency. Really enjoyed it. So there's
Is that one
that.
out yet or not? Not yet,
No,
right?
it comes out Tuesday. So if you
Okay.
go hop over to the website this week, I re like got all my reviews done, except then I realized I still have seven books I need to read for the rest of August. I was like,
Yes,
gosh, I
we've.
really got through these books this month. And then I'm like, never mind, I didn't.
Yeah, we have all arced very close to the sun in August.
Yeah, I got to stay away from NetGalley for a minute. Patreon update. Welcome to new members, Nadine and Angela. Thank you so much for sponsoring the podcast, for being a part of our community. We are excited to have you. And then we have anniversaries. We are celebrating, Louise is celebrating 1 year in the Hive. Julie and Allison are celebrating two, and celebrating 4 years this month is Jenny and Christina with an H and Hannah. Again, thank you so much for your continued support of this podcast. We appreciate you all so very much. So books to screen adaptations feel like a win for the game, and when done right, they can introduce a whole new audience to romance. But for every adaptation we see, there are dozens that never make it past the option phase. So next time you see an option for film in a book blurb, you'll know what's really behind that headline. Tell us, what romance book do you think deserves a screen moment? Join the conversation in the Hive and let's dreamcast together. That's not even something we did. Like, we have not dreamcast any of our favorite books. But that's because I hate Hollywood. But we probably should do it at some point, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I fan cast in my head, so.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'm that person that sees the apple. Like, I need to see it. So I will fan cast almost every book I read.
I do, yeah. But I just imagine what they look like because I am not, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, it's like, I have to have like a, you know, official. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a famous person. But yeah. Like, if I see somebody who like embodies kind of like those characteristics, I have to like picture a person.
Okay. That's fair. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Tag us when, tag us in any TV news you might come across, TV or film news you come across. If you love this episode, leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Okay. Anyway.
Words are hard tonight.
Words are hard. Make sure you share this episode with your book besties. Amanda, thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time, everybody. Happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.